Hi, I'm Lieutenant Matt Derenbacher, and you're listening to Drinking and Droshing, Torah with a Twist. And I like to pretend I'm an eagle sometimes, because go Air Force.
Hey, Gabe.
Hey, Amanda.
I've been thinking a lot about Torah portions recently.
Okay, that's a thing we do every week, right?
That's right, I said recently. So I was thinking about it because all of these Torah portions have a name, right?
Yeah.
I have a name, but most people don't actually use my full name, right? Like, a lot of people call me Amanda, but like my whole family calls me Amanda Catherine.
Okay.
And so it's a little strange because in our Torah portions, right, like, those names stick. Like, the name is always the name, right?
I mean, pretty much. There are a couple of exceptions.
Okay, so then I'm really confused, because it seems like this week the Torah portion has two names, like me.
Well, sometimes. It depends on who you ask. It's either Shelach or Shelach Lecha. We always take the first word or first couple of words from the Torah portion as the title of the Torah portion, and, well, Shelach Lecha.
Wait, so you're sending me off on a journey, on a message, on something?
That is what Shelach Lecha means, yeah. Go off.
Go off. That's exciting, to go off on a journey, to have fun, to kind of get pumped up. Man, I wonder what would happen if a journey would take us far away from home.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of what this whole Torah portion is about, is scouting out new territory.
Scouting out. That sounds military.
Little bit, yeah.
Do we have anybody that might be able to help us out with that?
I mean, I think we have some friends and classmates who are pretty great, who might have some interesting insight.
Oh my goodness, I can't believe I forgot. I almost forgot to introduce them again.
That's okay, Amanda. I got this one. Matt Derenbacher is a rising fifth-year rabbinical student on the Cincinnati campus of HUC-JIR. He currently serves in the U.S. Air Force as a chaplain candidate and will recommission to serve as a full chaplain upon ordination. In the coming year, Matt will be serving as student rabbi for Congregation Beth Shalom in Columbia, Missouri, as well as rabbinic fellow for Hillel at Ohio University, as well as fellow at Wise Temple in Cincinnati, Ohio. At home, Matt and his wife Brittany run a special needs dog rescue called Luna Bell's Moonbows. Thank you for joining us, Matt, in what is clearly your copious free time.
I'm also thrilled to welcome my friend and classmate and colleague, rising fourth-year cantorial student Lainey Zell. Welcome to the show, Matt and Lainey. We're so thrilled to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us. Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
And of course, it wouldn't be an extremely incredible episode without the prime direction of our leading officer, executive producer Edan Waldman. What's going on, Edan?
Ready to kick it with some good friends here.
And of course, my favorite buddy to go off on any journey with, co-host Gabe Snyder. How's it going, Gabe?
Very excited for this episode.
Me too. Are you ready to go off?
Let's go. People are right next to the Promised Land, but they're not quite ready to enter. Why? Well, for one thing, they don't know anything about it. They need some scouts. So each tribe gets to send a person. They all have names, but let's be real, names are hard. Moses sends them off on a mission into the Negev Desert, up into the hills to see what's up. How are the people? Is the land fertile? Are the towns fortified? What are the resources? Also, it's grape season, so bring back some grapes. Will do, Moses. The scouts do their scouting and grab some grapes, and 40 days later return to give the report. The land is pretty great, flowing with milk and honey, and look at these nice grapes we found. But the people who live there are scary, and maybe this isn't the best idea. But two scouts disagree. Caleb and Joshua are confident that they will go and conquer the land, despite the Amalekites and Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites and the Anakites, who may or may not be literal giants. The people are unconvinced by Caleb and Joshua's confidence and weep over the scouts' reports. We should just go back to Egypt, they cry. Moses and Aaron fall on their faces, and Joshua and Caleb tear their clothes. Have faith in God, they say, and we will prevail. The people, still unconvinced, are just just about to start throwing rocks at them when the presence of God appears in the tent of meeting before them. God's not too happy with the people's lack of faith and is tempted to strike them with a plague, but Moses says, look, if you don't bring them into the land, then all of the other nations will say you weren't strong enough. Ugh, fine, says God. But none of the people who doubted me get to go in, except Caleb. That guy's cool. Joshua too, and the children. They're fine, I guess. Oh, but the 10 scouts who gave bad reports do die of a plague. So Moses relays all of this information, but some of the people decide to try to enter the land anyway. They are swiftly defeated by the Amalekites and Canaanites. Oops. Then we get some instructions about sacrifices, including some stuff about challah. No, not that braided egg bread. The little piece of dough that gets set aside and burned as an offering to God. Follow God's commandments. If you mess up by accident, don't worry. There's a sacrifice for that. But willingly defying God gets you kicked out of the community. Story time. One time in the wilderness, someone was gathering wood on Shabbat, something you're not supposed to do. So the people brought him to Moses. The punishment? Death. Nice story, right? Also, put fringes on your clothes and add a blue thread in there. It'll remind you of the commandments. And that's Parashat Shelach Lecha.
Love it. That was great. The summary and the portion are perfect for this episode because there's, like, in the military setting, there's so much uncertainty, right? You get orders and then next thing, oh, well, actually, we're going to do it this way. So, yeah, that uncertainty can lead to fear. And I like that at the end of this portion, we have all these safeguards in place to say, like, okay, well, we can deal with whatever happens. So, good job, Gabe. Love it. More than aggressively mediocre.
Thanks, Matt.
I also really enjoyed that. I've never heard it described quite like that. But, you know, one thing that always struck me about this Torah portion was the fact that the spies, they're scared. They're scared, so they react poorly. And instead of getting to learn from their mistake and getting to repent, they're killed. They die of a plague, which always struck me as a little harsh. But I think, you know, what Matt said is right. Like, this Torah portion is really perfect for, you know, talking about, you know, following orders in the military. Like, there are times when if you don't follow orders, that can be a life or death situation. But there are times when if you don't follow orders, you're just going to get yelled at really, really loudly, and you'll probably cry later. So I always think of that in this situation.
Speaking from experience?
Not yet.
Well, I'm really excited for the rest of this conversation, which will hopefully include a lot less fear, crying, and death.
Matt, I am so thrilled that you're with us today, especially that you made the time when you're on base, when you're doing this work. And I mean, I know Lainey is in training right now and also doing this work, and to have both of you here is incredible. And it occurs to me, because I know I have spoken about my chaplaincy experience in the hospital before, but what exactly is military chaplaincy and how does it work?
First, thanks for having us. Like, this is a great opportunity because, I mean, part of our job as chaplains on base is to sort of give our little shtick and say, like, hey, we're chaplains, we're here for you, like, to make sure that those we serve actually know we're here and what we do. So, this is a part of the job, too. So, Lainey, please feel free to jump in if there's anything that's different for your branch. But for the Air Force, here's what we do. So, chaplains, big thing that no other helping agency has is we have 100% confidentiality. And that is something that not even mental health services have. So in my case, airmen can come to me and we can sit down and have an open and honest conversation. And there isn't that fear of me reporting them for anything, for harm to self or others or anything like that. Whereas if they did go to another helping agency, that would be reported. And that's a double-edged sword, right? It's great because they want to be open with chaplains, but we can't tell anyone anything. So now we as chaplains have to use other tools to sort of make sure that those we're serving are getting the help that they need. So counseling, big part of it. But we're also responsible for religious accommodation. So, I mean, I wear a beard in uniform, I wear a kippah inside. Both are things that are normally a huge no in the military setting, but it's part of my religious expression. And so I sat down, before I commissioned, I had an interview with a couple of different chaplains and said, hey, this is a big part of my practice of my faith. And so I got some nice religious accommodation forms. Now, there are always exceptions, but as a chaplain, what I get to do is I get to sit down with airmen and they say, hey, I need halal food. I need kosher food. I need to wear a kippah. I need to wear a hijab. I need to wear a beard because I practice the Norse religion. So great. So let's sit down. Let's see what we can do to accommodate that. And that goes up the chain of command, and we fight for that religious protection. And most of the time it works out, as long as it's a sincere thing and it's not interfering with the mission. So yeah, we as chaplains spend a lot of time in counseling. We spend a lot of time with religious accommodation requests. We do the best we can to provide religious support for those we serve. So for example, Nellis Air Force Base, they have a very large Catholic community. So there's a priest that's contracted in, and he'll run a daily mass and he'll run a mass on Sundays. There are a couple of chaplains who are active duty on base who are Protestant, various denominations within the Protestant tradition of Christianity, and they run different types of services. So there's a gospel service on Sunday, there's a traditional service on Sunday. So as many religious services as we can. Now, since I am a chaplain candidate, and I'll explain that in just a minute, because that's a whole other thing, I'll only be at Nellis for a month. So it wouldn't really be practical for me to start Shabbat services, because then, well, airmen would come on a Friday night or a Saturday morning and say, hey, oh, it's July, you're not here anymore. And then they'd have to sort of pick up the pieces. So one of the big things that I get to do as a candidate is make sure that the chapel here on base has all of the resources they could possibly need if a Jewish airman comes and says, like, hey, I want a late to fill in. Where can I go? I'm conservative, or I'm Orthodox, or I'm Reform. And then they can say, oh, great. Well, actually, we have some tefillin here, or we have Shabbat candles, or we can talk to your commander and make sure that you're off Friday afternoon, you're off Saturday, and you can go to work on Sunday instead. So providing those resources, those long-term resources that I wouldn't be able to provide as a candidate. So now, unpacking what a candidate is. So there's this really cool program, the Jewish Welfare Board. They are the first endorsers of Jewish chaplains, which is really cool. They've been doing it for longer than you think. And we have our own nice Sidur, which is cool. So I'm endorsed by them. And because I have this endorsement, I was able to commission as an officer in the U.S. Air Force. And they recognize that I'm still in rabbinical school. So I can't very well do training in the middle of the year. I have classes, I have student pulpits, things like that. So what they say is, okay, well, you can do all of your service in a month during the summer. So that's what I'm doing right now. So we have AT, our annual training tour, and then some IDT days, which are out in the field. So spending time with unit engagement, engaging in counseling, providing religious, spiritual, and emotional support for airmen. So that's what I get to do. And then once I, God willing, get ordained next year, I'll be able to recommission. And the process as of right now is to go reserves. And then the goal is to go active duty after that. So
it's really incredible work that you're doing. And hearing you talk about it, one of the things that really strikes me is the diversity, is the religious diversity that you describe. At your current job, a lot of Catholic and Protestant people, which sounds familiar, but also with Muslim people, also with, you know, numerous other religions. I've often heard the military described as somewhat of a melting pot, as a great equalizer where people of all faiths, all religions, all traditions can come and be integrated into the unit and really be a part of that community. I'm curious what your interactions are like with either chaplains of other faiths or with, I don't know what the right word is, soldiers of other faiths. You know, for us in our roles in synagogues, it's not often that we get to talk with clergy or practitioners of other religions. And if we do, it's like one interfaith event. So I'm curious what life looks like.
Phenomenal question. In one word, it's really cool. I mean, it's great because I get to be rabbi for some. Like, there are Jewish airmen. I got to spend time with a Jewish airman just the other day. And later this week, we're going to lay tefillin together. We're going to have a good time. I'm going to get him special sidur for the military because this is the only sidur that I know of that is actually agreed upon by every denomination, pretty much. So there's sections for, like, here's the traditional reading or here's the reform reading.
Just wanted to add to Gabe's question, I am currently in officer training right now, and my hall alone, there are 5 chaplain candidates. Somehow we all ended up in the same hall in my barracks where I'm staying. So next to me is a Protestant minister. On his other side is a Catholic priest. On my left is a Baptist pastor. And did I get all 5 of us? But really, like, there's so many of us just on this one hall, and between the 20 chaplains and chaplain candidates, we have both in my program right now. And between the 20 of us, I think there's 1 overlapping faith. There are 19 separate faiths. And so it's like really interesting to be able to like compare notes and talk to people. And I get a lot of questions from the Christian chaplains about what they call the Old Testament, various things like that. So it's one of my favorite aspects of being here.
Yeah, 1,000%. It's so cool. Because yeah, we get to be rabbi for some, chaplain for all. And every time I go to a different base, I end up giving like a brief Judaism 101 for the entire chaplain, the entire chaplain corps, because they genuinely want to know. Yeah, anytime I'm at a new base, it's like bombardment of questions. Hey, rabbi, you want to give this brief? And it's like, let's go for it. I mean, it's great. Last summer I was at Langley and I got to do, it's a joint base, so there's Air Force and Army there. And I got to do like an intro to Judaism, quick hour-long brief for, I think it was 40 chaplains, which was cool. And then it was scheduled for an hour. And then there was probably like 2.5 hours of just questions that people that were hanging out wanted to know, like, just more about Judaism, more about Jewish life, how to better accommodate Jewish soldiers and airmen. So yeah, that's been my experience too. It's just this really cool, it's a very unique place. It really is, the military in general, but the military chapel experience is unique.
I think so too. I think one of the things that I love is being able to bring these conversations and connect them to the portion at hand, which is partially why we pair you. And so I just wanted, before I do any of that, to give a real thank you to Elias Chayet, who is the reason that we're doing this episode. He was originally going to be joining us and actually didn't get off of his own CPE until we were in the middle of recording this episode. But a quick shout out and a thank you to Elias, who is also a chaplain candidate, but for the Navy, similar to what Lainey's going through right now, which we'll find out a little bit more later. But one of the things that I wanted to throw out there is, even in the very beginning of our portion, we have kind of a cool Hebrew word that translates to a really similar English word. So we have Shalach Lecha Anashim V'yaturo et Eret Kanan. So we have this word V'yaturu. So send agents, right? Send potentially men Anashim, but this idea is send people to Tor. The word Tav Vav Resh is actually to seek out or to make a search or to like really like try to go out and tour a land. And so when Matt is talking about going on tours and seeking things out and scouting these things out, there's kind of a neat connection here, even from the Hebrew to the English, of these agents, these messengers were supposed to go out and literally tour the land to understand what the story was supposed to be. One of the other pieces of that same line says that we're asking specifically Israelite people, each one of them who has kind of a high ranking, as Lainey explained to me earlier, that one of the other cool things about these early verses is the fact that these people that are sent out are actually considered Kulam Anashim Roshei B'nai Israel, that they are these heads of these Israelites. They are literally leaders of the leaders. And it seems in terms of chaplaincy that you too end up being in a really unique leadership role where you are not only leading the leaders, but actually truly accompanying them as they go on these tours. What is that like for you?
So one of our jobs as chaplains is to advise leadership. Now, depending on the leadership's past experience with chaplains depends on like how much FaceTime we actually get with them. So being chaplains and chaplain candidates, we're also officers. So we spend time advising leadership. And that is it takes up a surprising amount of time. We do get to walk alongside leadership, and we get to walk alongside those we serve as well. So the enlisted and the officers that are in charge. And it's a really interesting sort of line to walk too. So part of our job as chaplains and chaplain candidates is to go on, like, do unit engagement, essentially, where we go out and we go to our different units and we spend time there and we sort of take the temperature of the unit and see what's going on, what are some of the needs, and we can bring those needs safely to the leadership.
So I'm curious about, for you, how you kind of deal with this idea of, you know, you're an officer and you get your own kind of lane, you have your own sort of portfolio of things to do, and yet you are bound by military orders. The military is a very structured, very hierarchical situation. How do you kind of deal with that spirituality and that faith in at least what I on the outside see as a really rigid environment?
Yeah, so as a chaplain and chaplain candidate, we have the privilege of creating space. So you're right, the military is a very, like, it's structured. It really is. But thankfully, there's beginning, at least in the Air Force, to be more and more, there's more and more of a recognition of the need for time, for self-care, for spiritual care, for emotional care. And as chaplains and as officers, we get to say, hey, so in my context, this airman needs this time for counseling, to take some time for their own spiritual practice. So take that time. And I can push with the leadership and say, this airman not only needs this time, but they deserve and are entitled to this time. So I have the privilege of protecting their First Amendment right. So to practice their religious tradition in a way that is meaningful and sustaining for them in a very structured and sometimes, many times, exhausting environment.
I find it really fascinating because this particular portion truly, I think, does deal a lot in messaging, both in how we perceive things to be, whether we're scouting it out, kind of talking about the land, or whether we're putting out a message that's not quite clear, or whether we're trying to calm people down in the midst of a chaos with a clear message. And so, Matt, one of the questions we have for you that we are hoping you may help us with is that if you had a message that you wanted us to share with the people, that you wanted to share with the people, what would that message be? And what are you hoping that people might think, know, feel, or do after hearing this call to action?
I think that the biggest thing I would say, and this isn't necessarily like some big profound message, but just from the interactions that I've had in counseling, in creating religious space, is to be present, listen, and be there for those around you. So, like, towards the very end of our parasha for this week, we have just a short little thing on how to treat strangers and laws of tzitzit. And I think, like, yeah, we have this whole, like, great story that happens, and I loved what Gabe said earlier, hey, there's a sacrifice for that. So, like, we have time to redo things and we can always change and adapt. But the things that I really want to latch onto are how to treat strangers. Because, I mean, as a chaplain candidate, I'm chaplain for all. So, I mean, everyone, literally anyone can come to me, whether they're active duty, reserve, family members. So we do family support too. So how to treat strangers, be present, listen. And the laws of tzitzit, well, sometimes we need reminders to be present and to listen and to be there for others and for ourselves. Can't care for others if we're not taking care of ourselves, too.
It's always a pleasure to be able to welcome friends on as our Q&A guests for these episodes, but it's really a true privilege to be able to say that I watched our Q&A guest get kind of her endorsement commission in order to join military chaplaincy as the first female cantorial student that is going into military chaplaincy for the Navy. I watched, I cheered, I literally screamed and clapped in our apartment, possibly with Gabe.
I cheered too, and I'm so excited that I get to introduce my classmate, Lainey. Lainey Zell is a rising fourth-year cantorial student at Hebrew Union College. She was commissioned into the United States Navy in January as a chaplain candidate, the Navy's first ever cantor and only the second cantor in the U.S. military. She will recommission upon ordination to serve active duty sailors and their families. She just finished 2 years as the student cantor for Temple Rodef F. Shalom in Falls Church, Virginia, and will begin at Temple Shaare Tefillah Israel in South Orange, New Jersey this fall. On the side, Lainey is an avid reader and writer of both fantasy and science fiction. Welcome to the show, Lainey. I'm so excited to get to pass you the mic.
So, Matt, obviously there's a lot of pride in all the services about which service you choose and where you go. I would love to know from you, you know, why you chose the Air Force over the other two services.
So, chose the Air Force for a couple of reasons. So I chose the military, first of all, because my grandfather always wanted to serve, but he had a bunch of health issues and he was never able to. So part of that is honoring his memory. Air Force specifically because I like flying things and the Air Force is cool. But also just hoping for Space Force. That would be cool. If Space Force ever gets chaplains, I want to be on that list.
I totally understand that. I also have a classmate who is really interested in that. And he says he wants to be the first rabbi in space. So you might have some competition there.
I'm on it.
No, I totally understand. I too have a grandfather who served in the Navy. It was definitely a big draw for me when I was looking at which service to go into.
So that's awesome that your grandfather was in the Navy and that was a driving force for you. I love that. So with the different branches, there are also different like time commitments, deployment commitments, and things like that. What are your goals? Are you going active duty? Are you hoping to stay reserves? Like, what are you hoping for right now?
Right now, the goal is to go active duty once I'm ordained. For the foreseeable future, I really feel like this is where I'm supposed to be. So it's, you know, it shocked a lot of family and friends when I was like, I'm going to go into the military and be a chaplain. But here I am. So, you know, I have my training this summer. First mm-hmm. is officer training and next is a specific chaplain training. And then I have on the job training next summer, right before my fifth year. And then normally in the Navy, you're required to do 2 years of full time pulpit experience before you can go active duty or supersede, as we call it. But because I will have 4 years of part-time experience under HUC in my student pulpits, the military, we've started working together. My program manager, chaplain, he's a wonderful man and has been just in my corner from the beginning. And he and I have been working together to get those 2 years waived so I can go straight to active duty. But yeah, Matt, my question for you is, once you finish training, what are some of the things now that you're doing the work of an actual chaplain candidate, now that you're really on base and working with airmen in your case, what are some of the like best things, worst things you've encountered?
I mean, honestly, I'd probably say all of it is the best and the worst. Because, getting into earlier, the whole, like, we have the privilege and the responsibility simultaneously, like, these two things are in tension, of walking alongside those we serve, right? And so sometimes you'll have the best of times where an airman will, like, chaplain, hey, this is going on. It's really great. I'm really excited. I just needed to tell somebody. Awesome! Like, great, okay. Or we have a change of command and there's a whole bunch of people there and you get to like shake hands and all that fun stuff. Like, that's cool. But there's also like the worst of times. I mean, doing a memorial service for an airman, like, that's not something you want to do. And then spend time with the family members and spend time with the spouse and spend time with the close friends at work and out of work. So yeah, there are a lot of, another thing that makes military chaplaincy so unique is you can have both of these things in the same day. You can have a change of command in one unit and a memorial service in another. Two completely different worlds. And as the chaplain, you're doing an invocation for both. And you need to be in the right headspace for both. And then you're doing counseling after the memorial service because there's a lot going on there. So yeah, the best things and the worst things can happen at the same time. And it's a big responsibility, but it's a huge privilege too, to be able to be in that space and to be sort of a guide in that space.
That's a really good point. Just being able to see both the good and the bad in everything we do, because in a weird way, I guess we kind of love the bad things because we signed up for them, but we also hate them because we hate seeing people in pain. So I think there's definitely that simultaneous feeling of best and worst. But I think my last question for you would be, if you could choose different, would you? Could you see yourself doing anything else?
No. With ordination coming up, like, it's scary, right? There's a few options. So there's congregational work. There's civilian chaplaincy opportunities. The military is such a unique space where I can be rabbi for some and chaplain for all. And I get to inhabit a very unique space where it's an extreme space. It really is. I mean, high highs, low lows, and not much else in the middle. And I really do see it as a privilege to be able to be here and to provide that support and to walk with leadership and walk with enlisted and to be here and to be able to walk through these experiences, these very extreme, raw experiences, and to create that space where healing can happen, where people can just take time away from the chaos of everything that happens in this very structured space. And yeah, to be able to create that is, it's a beautiful thing and it's a huge responsibility. So no, I don't think, given the opportunity, I think I would choose anything else. I think that military chaplaincy is always going to be a part of my life in one form or another. I mean, till they kick me out and they say, sorry, guy, you're too old. You can't do PT tests anymore. So then I'll go be a chaplain for the VA or something. And Lainey, what about you?
I'm just at the beginning. I haven't gotten through training yet, but I already, one of the things I wanted to mention from earlier is that the rigidity does not equal meanness or bad. There's a beauty in the structure. There's something really intensely just powerful in watching how it works and being a part of it. And like saying, I'm a chaplain candidate, I'm a CCPO here, people turn around and they pay attention because chaplains here are beloved. People love their chaplains. Doesn't matter what faith tradition that you are a chaplain of, they love chaplains. And so not only do you get to take care of other people, but people respect you and love you. And it's a really good feeling. It's like the reciprocation of that respect is something I don't think I've ever experienced anywhere else. And so I will stay as long as they'll allow me.
Amazing. And it's great too, because that respect is not something that is necessarily there in the civilian world too. So we have a really unique opportunity to educate too. So, I mean, like, as a Jewish chaplain candidate, like, I'm the first Jew that some people meet. And, I mean, that's a responsibility too, right? Make a good impression. Yeah, I think that's great. And I really like what you said about there being this immense beauty in the structure and the rigidity, because not having experienced it as an insider, like, it can seem scary, right? Like, I remember when I was first going to officer training, like, I pulled up and people were yelling and I needed to start running and I hadn't even changed yet. And it was like, okay, great. Like, this is terrifying. So like from the outside, like even myself, like going into it, it was this scary thing. But once you're inside, like, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It really is. And it provides a lot of opportunity for some beautiful personal spiritual growth. And I love that. Thank you for that.
Hit a guy, get a gib. It a guy would have gone to the good and a go, it a go, it a go, to the good, it a go, drink. It a go, get a gib.
Yeah, I got none of that. What is happening right now?
What? Didn't you understand me? I said, hi, Gabe. I want to know about the drink, okay?
Nope. Got. No. I mean, okay, but what?
Oh, I mean, look, like, it's just a different type of message. I was trying to deliver you something a little bit different. I mean, it's gibberish. It's a language I learned as a kid, right? Like, you just add different letters in, but I could guess maybe you might not understand the message from the beginning.
I don't think I did. You know, that kind of reminds me of this week's Torah portion, though.
Really? Why?
Well, you know, there was the whole message of the scouts, and that got kind of, you know, muddled, and yeah, it just didn't work out very well.
Okay, so I want to know about the drink. Is that okay?
Oh, sure. So for Parashat Shelach Lecha, we proudly present the muddled message. We're starting with blueberries for the blue fringe. In a glass, 10 blueberries for the 10 spies who were less than supportive of God's plan. For Caleb and Joshua, 2 lime wedges. Gather up a handful of mint, maybe 10 leaves, just don't go collecting on Shabbat, and muddle all of that together with 2 teaspoons of sugar, releasing and mixing the sweet and sour flavors and fully dissolving the sugar in those juices. Stir in 2 ounces of white rum and then pour over ice. Top it all off with an ounce of club soda. For a non-alcoholic muddled message, skip the rum and soda, topping off your muddled mixture with 3 ounces of ginger ale. For a garnish, a few extra blueberries for the grapes the scouts brought back, and a lime wheel for the sun rising on a new chapter in the journey of the Israelites. L'chaim.
Please send me that. I need that drink.
It is a summery, you know, refreshing beverage.
Yeah, with the heat here in Vegas, I could use a couple of those.
Coming right up.
You had me at blueberries.
Well, it seems now that everybody's refreshed and making sure to stay hydrated, I mean, especially in the summer heat, that we've made it to our last section, our thank yous and closing cues. While normally all of us tend to answer a first question, in this particular case, we really wanted to clearly direct our message to both Lainey and Matt. So Matt, Lainey, while in Shlach Lecha, we find that our most important messages might get muddled in times of fear and crisis. What's the best way to ensure that we get the correct and clear message across to the troops in potentially traumatic or terrifying times? Matt, we'll start with you.
I would say the biggest thing that you can do, if you're in need of assistance, reach out to someone. And if you are a friend of someone who is in need of assistance, be there. Listen. Listening and the, as we call it, the ministry of presence, it's powerful. It really is. It can be, going back to the parasha, it can be life or death. It literally can in this setting. Can be in the civilian world too. So be present, be vulnerable, and know that there are those around you who care about you and want the best for you. So reach out if you're in crisis. And if someone reaches out to you, be there to the best of your ability.
Incredible, Matt. Thank you. Lainey, what are you thinking?
I 100% agree with Matt. I also think that, you know, when people come to you for advice, reminding them that the world isn't quite so big as it seems when they're in crisis. Something I learned all the way back from my mother growing up is, you know, break things down and do things one piece at a time. And that's held so true for the military. Every piece of information we get is just one little piece of a whole. And there's a reason for that. It's so that we don't get overwhelmed, and it's so that we don't go into crisis mode by thinking about all the things that have to happen and all the people that have to move where and when and how. And that's so much more compounded when you're in a dangerous situation. And so everyone clearly knows their roles. Everyone clearly knows who to turn to in the chain of command when they have questions. And so that's the big part of handling those crises, but also being there and reminding people who they are, where they are, and that the next step is all they have to get to. Just the next step.
I really appreciate that, this idea of both being present but willing to take a next step, because inevitably where you step towards will get you moving. It will get you in a direction. And if you decide that's not the right direction for you, you can always take a step to the side or back or somewhere else. But the ability to take that breath and take that step is a really important start in the conversation of what comes next and what's the next call to action or what's the next plan, or even how can I be present for the very next moment. And these conversations are happening all around us all the time. Not just on base camps, not just in hospital rooms, but with people that we love and care about who are going through things every day. Matt, Lainey, if people want to continue the conversation or find out more about military chaplaincy, how could they find or follow you?
So if you're interested in becoming a chaplain, I would go to the Jewish Welfare Board website. They can help guide you through that entire process. Rabbi Irv Olson is a great, great resource. Love that guy. So yeah, I would start there. And if you want to see what life is like, you can follow me on Instagram at dbach, D-B-A-C-H. Pretty easy. Yeah, today I got to sit in a couple of airplanes and I'm going to post it on Instagram right now. So
amazing. Like a bird. You were not kidding. Lainey, how about you?
I second what Matt says. If you're interested in chaplaincy, the Jewish Welfare Board is the place to go. Really, Rabbi Olson has been with me since the minute, you know, I met him. He was like, oh, you're interested in chaplaincy? Let me walk you through this entire application process and be there for you every step of the way and then endorse you. So he is the director currently of the Jewish Welfare Board. And so definitely looking on their website, reaching out to him, and he's always so excited about new chaplains. For me, I'm currently unable to post anything on my social media about training or anything in the military because I signed a piece of paper, but hopefully someday soon you'll be able to follow me and you'll see some of what life is like as a Navy chaplain.
Incredible. I love the mystery, but I also love the history that you shared with us. Oh my goodness, Matt, Lainey, what a wonderful journey it's been. I want to just say thank you so much for joining us during your training and your timing. I know things have been crazy for people who have been up for a very long period of time. It's been really wonderful to share this space with you. Thank you so much to Edan for making sure that we stay on track and on time, to Gabe for coming up with some excellent puns and really just ensuring that our incredible military chaplains stay hydrated. I hear that he's going to try to get on base, but he's a little afraid that he may get arrested for trespassing. And of course, to Kate for making us sound brilliant and to all of our listeners for tuning in. Stay tuned. We're going to come up with our conclusion soon. But for now, it's been wonderful to be with you both. Gabe, I'm so thrilled that Elias suggested that we do this type of military chaplaincy episode. You know, during the year, it's the first time that we've really had a deep dive conversation about what that might look like. And I have to tell you, it's a world that I know so little about, but I'm really thrilled to have had kind of an introductory class with this particular episode.
You know, I am also not familiar with the military. I'm, you know, not really from a military family. My grandfathers were in the military in between Vietnam and Korea, and so like they have jackets but were never deployed anywhere, and so yeah, I just don't have a lot of background with this. It's a really fascinating world, and I feel really privileged that we not only, you know, get to talk to these people, but that they really are our friends and colleagues who, you know, it makes it a lot more real.
I think the other thing that made it real for me was the realization of how much parallels regular life. This idea of being present and breaking things down. I mean, on base it matters because everything seems to need a routine in order for it to work smoothly, right? There are rules or regulations or things that we need to be able to listen to and understand. But in regular life, we also deal with chaos and calamity, even if it's not necessarily always at the same level. And the advice still stands, right? The ability to be present, to listen, to be able to serve just by ensuring that you're really hearing someone, that can be maybe the most significant part of someone's day.
For sure. I'm really just so interested in the ways in which Matt was able to talk about his own insight into this Torah portion. I love this Torah portion. There's so much going on. There's narrative, there's laws, there's sacrifices, there's a parable, like all sorts of things happen. And he was really able to speak to each individual point within the Torah portion and talk about how it, you know, relates to military chaplaincy and how it relates to him personally, which is, you know, on a meta level, just so what we try to do for all of our pairings. But this seemed to be, you know, extra relevant.
Absolutely. And look, this Taurus person's another kind of difficult one. I mean, let's get real. We may say that God is slow to anger and abounding in kindness, but don't forget, like, God isn't always so slow to anger. It seems like God sometimes has a temper. And I think as we go through life, it's important to remember that our feelings are just that. They're valid. They're feelings. They are realistic and things that we deal with every day. And, you know, generally being able to look at them and see them for what they are, I think is really powerful. I think the ability to go out and see, how are we feeling today? Are we as a people strong or weak, right? Are we few or many? That's part of Numbers 13, 18. Like, the questions are, how are we settling in? Are we good? Are we dwelling kind of in a bad place today? What's going on? Are we open or are we closed off? These are a lot of the questions that's being asked as people are scouting out the story and trying to understand, are we able to grow? Are we kind of not able to take in those seeds? What's going to happen and what are the fruits of the labor that we bring forward?
It's always difficult to predict what's going to happen next. It's always difficult to, you know, kind of see the next chapter, see the light at the end of the tunnel. But it's so wonderful that people like Matt, like Lainey exist, who remind us to really be there for each other, to really listen. They do it every day. That's their job. That's what they signed up for. And it's a wonderful mitzvah that they're doing. So on a personal level, I would also just like to say to everybody who has served or is currently serving, thank you so much for your service, for your sacrifice. And if you are thinking about serving, it really is a blessing. It's a wonderful thing to do. And if you are thinking about chaplaincy, check out the Jewish Welfare Board. As we heard tonight, it's a really wonderful organization that's really helping a lot of people.
And look, if you're coming from a place of calm or coming from a place of chaos, if you're feeling strong or weak, if you're feeling grounded or up in the air, or I don't know, sometimes even feeling like the water is coming, you know, above your head, just know that we're in it with you. We are so thrilled to be on this journey with you as well and to be present and to hear you. And we're wishing you all the best. And especially this week, we hope that you get this message that we are wishing you a happy and a hearty l'chaim to life, to celebrate your life, and to make sure that the messages that are important to you are clear and compelling and getting out there. So for all of our listeners and for, of course, everyone who's serving, we wish you l'chaim.
L'chaim.
Hi, I'm Ensign Lainey Zell, and you're listening to Drinking and Droshing, Torah with a Twist. And I love what I'm doing, but my cats are very far away.